This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.
Now we're going to mix it up slightly and do the latest edition from the Spearig Brothers, who in the past, I think it's safe to say, have brought us absolutely nothing of merit. And we're going to go into talking about...
I think you can still say that.
Hope so.
wow.
Without giving too much away. Yeah, we're going to move into Jigsaw. So, Joe, do you want to kick us off?
It would be my pleasure, Francis. Lovely. So, yeah, Jigsaw was released as sort of the tentpole Halloween horror film. And personally, I've been more scared walking around Lenton at 1 a.m. It wasn't particularly scary. It wasn't particularly gory. And, yeah, it's 7 years since the last Saw film, which was called, in fact, Saw 3D, The Final Chapter. So I'll let that sink in for a minute, as it clearly wasn't. But it's quite hard to talk about a Saw film without giving away things. But it had everything you'd expect from a Saw film, sort of microcassettes, traps, twist endings. But it didn't really contribute anything to Saw lore. It wasn't particularly interesting. But if you're a Saw fan, you'd probably still enjoy it, as it had everything you'd come to expect. But one thing I will say is the traps in this Saw film were absolutely ridiculous. There's no way the creator of these traps could have preempted what people would have done in their movements, God, yeah. Which sort of resulted in the next thing in the trap happening. And also it would have taken some significant financial backing and someone that's got a PhD in mechanical engineering to sort of put forward these traps.
Lovely stuff. Thanks. Jay, what about you?
Fantastic summary. Yeah, obviously, yeah, stuff like that is just like ridiculous, and that would never happen. And yeah.
So for people out there who aren't necessarily familiar with Saw, Mum and Dad, it's basically a franchise that started in 2004, which was the first feature film of James Wan, who's now moved on to building his own horror film universe with The Conjuring and Insidious. And it was written by Lee Whannell, who actually attempted to act in it. Can we say he acted in it?
I think he acted in it.
Do you... Yeah?
Yeah, I thought it was alright. Convincing.
I think it was mediocre performance, but that's not his strong suit. I think what he did was construct quite a good film. And what they did out of that was they franchised it, and they made Saw 2 the following year. And then for the next 6 years after that, right up to 2010 with Saw 3D, like you said, The Final Chapter. It's not actually the first horror franchise to do The Final Chapter, because they did Friday the 13th, The Final Friday, and then followed that up immediately with Friday the 13th, Part 5.
The final destination?
The final destination.
Maybe the entire film is just completely self-parody, and they're just sort of realising that the franchise has come to an end and just throwing something at you that you... they think you wouldn't expect, but you would, because clearly it's just run into monotonous territory.
Yeah. Fair enough. The lore of Jigsaw is it's basically these rather nasty people who somehow had someone learn of their hideous atrocities, and they're put in these traps, and then this puppet comes out with a voice playing through it saying that he wants to play a game with them, where basically they have to either offer a sacrifice, confess, or think outside the box in order to survive the trap. Maybe make a small sacrifice along the way and ultimately find a form of rehabilitation where they can go back into the world better people, having experienced this near-death experience, which is supposed to have changed their lives. And with Jigsaw, it stuck to its laws. I don't think it tried to be too adventurous in what it was doing, but I certainly think it handled the franchise very well. I think it deserves credit for playing by its own rules and actually giving Saw fans, because yeah, as a 17-year-old boy, I loved Saw. It did actually I quite enjoyed it in a weird sort of way.
Can I add something to this? I just want to talk a little bit about sort of the introduction to the film, sort of before the title credits ran up. This introduction, like, I think the rest of the film sort of was quite rigid in how it stuck to sort of traditional tropes that we see in Saw, but this opening sort of 3 or 4 minutes was just like a really, really badly filmed, like, Hollywood chase scene. And they should have started with a trap or something gory or something horror related, and this didn't really feel like it belongs in part of the Saw universe.
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah, you can forgive sort of new directors trying to go down a different path with it, but yeah, I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah, one of my main criticisms was I got home from seeing it, and my housemate, shout out guy, was just like. So did they have any? Good traps? Clever traps? I was like, no. They were sort of just bog standard. I know there's like always like every film is like a really interesting one, like the one where they have to not breathe, or the one where he's like has the water on his head and how he gets out of it and things like that. But this one is just the if you don't, don't do something, you're gonna die.
It's what I said with the water trap is it's the way he escaped it that's exciting, more than the trap itself.
Yeah, but so, even that though, like even in this, the way they escape the traps is just not even that clever or interesting.
Well, it's not. They're not clever in the slightest. And I'm pointing a finger at you, Josh Stolberg, the writer, who brought us the despicable Piranha Double D after making just the awful Piranha 3D, which I'm ashamed to own on DVD.
Piranha 3D wasn't that bad.
For a teenage boy, which we were, it wasn't that bad.
Even the chap where they like had a big like sort of lead up to it, where they're like, oh, I've heard about this one trap that Jigsaw did before, and it's like, and then they finally someone ends up in it, and then it's really like a nothing.
Yeah, there's
scene.
Like memorabilia nostalgia scene just for the fans to go, oh look, it's the reverse bear trap that we find the Mandarin, and then there's the bit of the box from the, you know, there's all that, and I suppose it's for Storm fans to be tapping each other in the cinema, going, oh look at that, and disturbing the other people, which I think it's safe to say we were annoying the couple next to us.
They were annoying me.
Just throw it in there. This middle aged man. And nothing wrong with him seeing it, but he brought his wife along, and she, the entire way through, was going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I don't think her husband made it exactly clear what she was going to see. But nonetheless, I hope they enjoyed it. But I think the fun we had was going, oh, you know what, I bet this is going to happen, because it does keep guessing.
The twist ending, still, to me, I hadn't guessed that.
But how could you?
But because the build-up to the film was kind of not that intriguing, I didn't care that much when the big reveal actually came.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of shoehorned in as well. Like, no one could have guessed that.
Yeah.
Like, unless they sort of hazarded a really wild guess. But
maybe like 1 in 4 people would guess it. Mm. Just saying. Yeah.
Well, Josh Stolberg, you made Piranha Double D. Oh no, there's piranhas in the swimming pool. Why don't you get out? Oh no, we'll stay in and see what carnage occurs. Same thing with Jigsaw. The people in the traps just didn't react in the way that normal people would. If they really were pushed to the limit and trying to survive, they wouldn't have done the things they did. And I think that's its like main fault.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
like just,
I don't think
at one point,
it.
No,
it's
one point you're going, God, just finish it, and you'll be out. And the guy was just like, and it was very, very irritating. But I feel like I'm the one defending it here. I actually quite enjoyed it.
It's the same. I enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it, just not as much as I enjoyed the Saw ride at Thorpe Park.
This film, this franchise wanted its own roller coaster, its own horror maze. One more thing I have to say is kudos to Tobin Bell. He has carried this franchise and carried it flipping
God,
well.
He's creepy, isn't he?
I concur.
Omniscient being that seems to be one step ahead all the time. And I think maybe, he's just like this sort of, all powerful, all knowing guy. And there's something about him which is almost vigilante-esque. I like him.
Yeah.
Do you think they missed a trick when they killed him off so early in the franchise?
They've like shoehorned ways to get him back, so I don't know.
They haven't struggled keeping him in it, so I guess not. Jay, final thoughts on Jigsaw?
I looked at the runtime before he went, it was just 1.5 hours. I was like, hey, go 1.5 hours, little break from the day. Watch a Saw movie.
Yeah.
And that's basically all you can say about it, to be honest.
Joe, what about you?
Yeah, it was ridiculous, unbelievable, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, ultimately it was fun. And I think that was what we went for. And go see it with a friend if you are interested in seeing it. I think it's just finished at the Savoy, but there will probably still be cinemas playing it, because it was the second highest rated or grossing film in the UK last week. So go check it out if you are interested. Well, people want what they like and what they know. Like, all we get these days is box office sequels, but there we go. So Ben, sorry to miss you once again, keeping you in the
it's fine. I refuse to see it. They did actually invite me, I wasn't left behind, but I was like, no, I'm not seeing Saw. I don't like Saw. I'm not a horror movie fan in general. So yeah, there we go. Bit of a wuss. What can I say?
Don't need to say anything, mate. You are not the only person. I tried like 8 or 9 people before Jay finally accepted going to cinema with me. Trust me, it was an uphill battle just not going to see it by myself. Anyway, let's talk about film you have been to see. So that's Jigsaw. It's rated 18. It's about 1.5 hours, and you won't get it back, but you may enjoy it. So anyway, let's move on to Goodbye Christopher Robin now.
I love this film.
So do you want to do a bit of an introduction?
Sure. So Christopher Robin was the son of A.A. Milne, who obviously you probably definitely know this, who wrote the famous Winnie the Pooh books. I'm not sure when they were written, but again, famous they were. 1930s, there we go.
Or the 1920s.
After the First World War, before the Second World War.
it was around the 20s period, and it blew up in the 30s, I think it's safe to say.
And I think it's fair to say this was a bit of an origin story, but not of the books themselves, rather of Christopher Robin's life, and how Winnie the Pooh and his father writing about him, putting him in the books, affected his later years. And it really was just a poignant and kind of sad but moving kind of story of a child growing up as a famous character in a fictional storybook, and it was absolutely brilliantly done. I love the acting, I love the music, I love the screenplay. Literally everything about it to me was brilliant. Like, I cannot sing its praises enough.
And luckily enough for us, we got some live commentary from some of the other viewers of the a lot of, oh, that's so cute, and oh no, why would she do that, just put him behind. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
But yeah. I think, no, it's fair to say that the film did sort of spark people to actually vocally express how they are feeling, so...
Yeah,
which people in our cinema certainly did.
I thought it was really good. Like, a lot more as a straight drama, I thought it would be a lot more, you know, you'd have to like focus and it wouldn't grab your attention for some bits and be a bit slow, but it was quite good. There was a little bit of humour, a little bit of like lightheartedness, which really kept you going. I think there was a little bit that was rushed, which sort of like the middle act with the whole, you know, when Winnie the Pooh does become a popular book, that whole part of it was really quick.
Yeah, well, it's safe to say the first act is kind of the longest part of the film. It's been so long producing. Yeah. And I think that's to give people an idea of Alan Milne's state of mind. Like, he was suffering from shell shock, or PTSD as we know it now. This is Donald Gleason's character, and he set out to write an anti-war film, and so the first part of the film feels like him trying to write this anti-war film with people saying people don't want that, there's always going to be war. Films on my mind, you'll have to forgive me. He's trying to write a book or a novel, anti-war novel, and people keep saying war's a fact of life, you can't escape it. And I feel like that's actually very fluid message that just continues throughout the film. As well as that, I think it's a film about parenting and this sort of upper class ideology and approaches to having children.
Like, you do see a lot of the kind of upper class, kind of distant parenting through the mother, Daphne, played by... Oh, come on, I had the name.
Margot Robbie.
There we go. Thanks, mate. Margot Robbie. She did an excellent job at playing a kind of... not kind of bad mother, but maybe a distant mother... and the nanny as well, new
Kelly MacDonald.
Thank you. these two kind of really did a great job in portraying the differences between kind of upper kind of posh middle class mothering and kind of middle lower class mothering. Christopher Robin, or Billy Moon as he's called in the film, which I believe is what his parents called him outside of the book.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, you could see that New, although not related to him in any way, deeply cared about the boy, and certainly for the majority of the film, she was the one who cared about him the most. Whereas Margot Robbie's character, from the birth onwards, it was difficult, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was difficult for her. And apparently, actually, the real-life relationship with Daphne and Christopher Robin was a bit more rocky than they actually portrayed.
Really?
Yeah, which actually kind of makes your mind wonder, how could that even be possible?
Yeah.
It's an incredible film. Will Tilston, who plays the 8-year-old Christopher Robin, deserves a huge mention. I don't think he's just this young boy that, you know, you just look at in adoration, and you know, some people want to give him a hug. I think he's actually a really good actor, and I thought
this is his first like big role.
Yeah, I think Jacob Tremblay and Room, they kind of plucked him from obscurity.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. And then Alex Lawther, who plays the 18-year-old Christopher Robin, who's kind of seems to be appearing in more. He's in Black Mirror. He was in The Imitation Game, playing a young Alan Turing, and he actually delivered this final punch in the film, the kind of honest mindset of Christopher Robin after Winnie the Pooh, and I actually think that was actually one of the most powerful parts of the film.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And, I almost think I kind of wish there was a bit more of that, but yeah, there we go. It's a deeply complex film. It's interesting how little we've actually mentioned Winnie the Pooh, because it doesn't really feel
it's not about Winnie the Pooh.
I mean, we can all agree. It explains like the origins and where A.A. Milne got his ideas from. But again, even that bit was more focused upon the relationship between a father and son, especially that of a father who had difficulties struggling from the war.
It's a film about regret as well, I think, looking back on how you've raised your child and kind of, you know, none of us are fathers, but I think you will look back on how your child's turn out. and wonder, you know, if you did do a good job raising him. So it's really powerful for so many reasons. I wish we could talk about it for longer, but we're going to have to wrap up there. We do have a packed show today. But do you guys have any final thoughts on the film?
Yeah, Margot Robbie's... accent was not the greatest.
What? No, I liked her accent. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was good.
I could tell that, yeah. Anyway.
Well, there we go. It's still out in cinemas, only in selected ones, so I think it is literally about to finish. But yeah, definitely go see it if you get the chance.